Oh my God! No! So, no one told me, but apparently my mic was not on, so we're gonna start all over again. It is what it is. That was like the best blooper yet, y'all. So I'm really excited. Anyway, so welcome to this. For anybody who is not watching live, you missed it. That will not be on the broadcast, and so neither will this little part here, but welcome to the Meta Mindshift Show. In fact, y'all, we're going to rerun the introduction. Stay right where you are, and we will be right back. Yes. So now welcome to the Mindshift Show. We're just going to rewind that whole spiel that I just did. That's all right. But I am so happy to have all of you guys here with me. It was definitely a blooper, and I'm owning it. It is what it is. But you guys, today we are in a whole nother month. It is November 1st. My name is Nicole Maxwell, and I'm your hostess with the mostest here at the Meta Mindshift Show. Some call me technical, others call me the metaverse goddess, but you can call me Nicole. And so until we get on that familiar level basis, please just call me Nicole. I am really happy to have you guys here with us today as we step into the metaverse. And we're talking about all things metaverse related. We are talking about the virtual experience that you have that augments your reality or that takes you into an immersed reality. So what does it look like when you change things up a little bit? And what does that look like on Halloween? And so what I was saying for several minutes, just a few minutes ago, I was saying that we had Halloween last night. And this is really the first time that we have been in a space where we have Halloween, and this is an event where y'all know what we do on Halloween. We eat candy, we dress up, and we go out and we party things up, right? So this is the first year since the metaverse has been on the minds of all of the media that Halloween has actually happened. And so we're thinking about Halloween, we think about all the different things that we do. And so for Halloween, we go out and party. Right? I did not party last night, so I'm gonna just go ahead and be honest about that. Last night, I was not feeling well, so I was cuddled up in my little bed, but lots of folks did go out and we partied, and so we did some different things. How did you show up? Did you go into the metaverse last night? Did y'all tap in? What was it like for you to be in the metaverse? Did you dig in? Did you put on a new skin or some new clothes for your avatar? Did you dress them up and as your favorite animal, or did you cosplay in the metaverse? Because that's going to be a huge thing, and cosplay is where you put on an outfit that changes you into the skin of another. So by that, I mean you could be something like a cat, or you could be a dog, or you could be a wolf, or you could be SpongeBob, or you could be one of the Rugrats. And so we saw some really cute pictures on Twitter of the different Chuckies that are out there, two little sister girls who were playing Chucky. And so one played as Chucky, and it was Chucky, the serial killer Chucky, the psychotic Chucky from the Chucky horror series. And the other was playing as Chucky from the Rugrats. And so we've seen how these things happen. That's what happens in real life. Well, did you know that you can do the same thing in the metaverse? So you take your little avatar, and because it is literally technology, you can transform that technology into whatever you want it to be. And so Halloween parties are definitely a thing in virtual spaces. So we've seen that over the years in games, like we've had really cool experiences in games. I know I have. But we are also in a space where now we have the metaverse. And so my question to you once again is, did you augment your reality or were you immersed in a different reality last night? What was it that you did? And did you think about the fact that you were doing it in the metaverse? Were you doing it in the metaverse? Because if I had been feeling well, I would have definitely been into some of those parties that I got invited to or those experiences that I helped to create. So there are some really cool things that happen and we're all able to take part of them. One of the things that I was saying during the blooper is that it's November now. And so now that it's November, we here in America are heading into Thanksgiving. I believe Thanksgiving has already happened in Canada, but we're heading into our Thanksgiving season. And so we think about the things that we're thankful for. And I'm thankful for all of y'all tuning in. I'm thankful for everybody who's watching, no matter where you are. If you're watching us, you're out on LinkedIn. Hey, y'all, hey. If you're watching on our YouTube channels, we've got a few that are set up and some that it's not going out to right now, but we'll fix that later. We also have Twitch. So if you're watching on Technical VR, hey. And then we are also live on Twitter. And so, hey, Twitter family. We have a lot of different places where we are, but there is none better than right here. So we are at home on Pod TV. And so Pod TV is definitely taking care of this show. And so we appreciate you. We appreciate you if you are watching us and you're out on Roku, Hulu, Amazon Prime, Audible. Found myself on Audible the other day, which was really cool. And also shout out to Max Distribution because Max Distribution has put us literally everywhere. So I may not say where you're watching, but no matter where you are, please do me a favor. And that is to one, like and subscribe. So there is a form or function of liking and subscribing, no matter where you are watching, please do that. Thumbs up if you're somewhere where that's all the options are. And then do me a favor and share this out. So if you're watching and you're on Twitter or you're watching even heck on Instagram or you're finding yourself with access to the video some kind of way, go ahead and share this out, tweet it out and tell somebody, tell a friend, because today we're going to be talking about the metaverse. And so not that that's different. We talk about the metaverse every week at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We talk about the metaverse and we're talking. But what's actually happening, y'all? That's what we talk about. And so, you know, a lot of times you're reading news stories and those news stories are written by people who have never set foot in the metaverse. And unfortunately, there's also quite a few articles that are being written about people who have also never stepped foot in the metaverse. And the reason for that is because they are from Web3. And so there are a lot of people who are active in Web3, no doubt, but they're being given and granted the title of metaverse enthusiast, and they've never actually stepped foot in the metaverse. So what does that actually look like to step foot in the metaverse? So, you know, there's some different ways that you can do it. When I am consulting and when I'm, you know, teaching in any of my courses or seminars, I also tell people, so the metaverse, how do you access it? Well, there's a couple different ways. And so if you're here and you listen to this every week, just pay attention one more time because I'm going to say it again. We are able to access these virtual spaces or these virtual worlds, virtual experiences in many, many, many different ways. So one, you're able to access it on your phone. So if you have a phone, and there you go, you can see my phone. If you have a phone, you're able to tap into a potential metaverse space or a virtual space. If you are sitting at your computer, you are able to go to a virtual space on your browser. And those are real virtual spaces. They're virtual spaces that existed, some of them, before this whole metaverse boom ever happened. But you're also able to really get into the metaverse, especially the decentralized metaverse. When you start thinking about the difference between the experiences of your phone and the browser, and really truly altering that experience with AR, which is augmented reality, and so you're altering your reality, or VR, which is virtual reality. Now, that is my personal preference. I absolutely love VR. And so I am an avid fan of VR. And so I do love being in a VR space and being able to immerse myself 100%. But you know what I also like? I also like the ability to be able to not be in VR. So there are times when I don't want to be in VR. Like yesterday, I was saying that I was not feeling well. And so I'm not up to 100% today, but there's times when I just don't want to be in VR. And so sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. And so I like the idea of being able to turn technology off. And sometimes my brain just needs to chill and we just need to be calm, right? And so that is what I really like about VR is that in that moment, I'm 100% immersed. Like I'm there, I'm having fun. Maybe I'm playing an Ultimex, which I did, which was a blast, right? But then there's other times when it's like, yo, I want to be where I am. I want to like be there. So that's why I'm not the biggest fan of AR. Right. So for AR, when you're augmenting your reality, you pull a little piece of virtual reality into your real reality, right? A little piece of augmented reality into your real reality. So for me, I could see that. It's fun. Like we have a gentleman who's built a whole game and it's an AR game. You can grab it on your phone. I showed you a couple of weeks ago how to pull a tiger into your living room or on your desk or whatever. Like that's cool, but I don't want that in an always persistent type of experience. Like I don't want to always be looking at TV or always... No, those of y'all who know me know that ain't true, but I don't want to always be having that technology present. Like I know it's there, but I don't want to see it. I want to be able to distinguish real from not. So one thing I'm going to tell you guys that if you are just in a space where you're reading a whole lot of news headlines and all these headlines are saying the metaverse is terrible, and Mark Zuckerberg this and Mark Zuckerberg that. First of all, welcome to the Meta Mind Shift Show. So second of all, I want you to know that the metaverse is not Mark Zuckerberg's world. It is not being built by Mark Zuckerberg. He is one of many, 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 many people who are out here building, creating, crafting, and cultivating the future of the metaverse, the future of technology, the future of arts and innovation. He's one of many people who are doing that. So it's not just him. We have a whole lot of folks out here who are putting themselves through the ropes. They are trying things out. They are acting as guinea pigs. And a lot of people are just building and they're finding success. They're finding great ways of enjoying life and being present, right? And so that's the other thing I want you to know is that the metaverse does not require that you not have your real life. That is the number one concern that I have from people when they're, you know, kind of approaching me or talking to me or even in consultations. Why do I have to give up my reality for this altered reality? You don't. And that's the reality of it. That's why I like VR, because I like to be in it and then out of it. So I like it in spurts. I like it in little tiny portions. I think that one day we will get to a moment where we are, where, you know, the metaverse is around us, and that's when it'll be complete. But right now it's not done. It's not. If you want to experience something that's different from these cartoony characters that you see on a daily basis. I want you to do me a few things, do me a few favors. So first of all, if you want to experience something that is different, I want you to go to Unreal Engine. I believe it's unrealengine.com. Look it up on Google. Don't just go there. Look for Unreal Engine. And then I want you to look up MetaHumans. And so MetaHumans are a way of experiencing. It's an avatar that looks and feels real. It looks real, right? And so it is a avatar that is here that in most instances, you can't tell if that ain't a real person until you're like really digging into them pixels to see whether or not it is or not. So that is one way that you can do that. And then the other thing that I want you to do is go out on Amazon Prime, especially all y'all Amazon Prime members. So I am an avid fan of the movies, and that is how I got to be so comfortable in this space. That is one of the very many reasons. But go out to Amazon Prime and look up a show called The Peripheral, like Peripheral Vision, okay? So go look that up. And watch that show. Like, we're up to episode number 3. Episode 4 drops on Friday. Every Friday there will be a new episode up until probably like 12 or so. But definitely go out there, check it out, and see what you think. Because in that show, they actually are utilizing virtual reality, and they're commandeering avatars. But you're walking around a whole brand new world. And so it's a world that has a human walking around in it. There is a ton of other movies that we're going to get into as we continue our journey here on the Meta Mindshift Show. But that one is out right now. It's one that you can keep up with the changes and things that are going. But you also have to remember that, hey, it's a movie. So try to just keep it very clear that it is a movie and you may not have the possibility of being able to change what it is that you're doing. So you guys, I want you to take a minute and think about the future in the metaverse and all the things that it can bring you. And then we'll go from there. So we're going to go to a quick break. I got somebody that is rapping on my window and I need to go talk to this person, but I will be right back. Thank you. Now that is the metaverse. And so that is one of our sponsors we are extremely proud of to have as a sponsor. Her name is Artsy, Artsy in VR. You guys, check out Artsy. Artsy creates luxury experiences in the metaverse. And so these are luxury virtual experiences. She is a social VR architect, engineer, world creator, mistress, and queen of all things when it comes to building, creating, and being in the metaverse. So definitely tap into Artsy. Artsy and Taylor Nicole sent you. Wait, that's the important part. Taylor Nicole sent you. Technical sent you. Either way. But she has been building and creating and crafting and cultivating out here for a very long time. And so she took space out of her life to learn how to be able to provide experiences in the social VR spaces. So she's able to create those for us. But you know what? And so she's a sister, so we always applaud that. But you know what else? She's not the only one. First of all, you can do the same. So take some time. If you are someone who is artistically inclined, take some time and learn how to build and craft and cultivate and create. You can show up in Web3, and you can show up in the future in the metaverse in all sorts of different ways that are unique to you and unique to your community. Be of service of some kind, and so you will see how far that actually takes you. I use my voice to help people to understand the metaverse and what it has to offer to all of us. And other people are out here creating. I create things like NFTs. Y'all saw that we had the 30 days of metaverse NFT movement over the summer. We have had a lot of different things. We are also creating spaces in virtual worlds for people. So we have done all these crazy and wonderful things, and we're seeing people actually be very delighted with their creations and all the different ways that we can show up. But that's not all. I'm also launching something that's new. It's going to be utilizing distributed technology. So not just NFTs, but also the blockchain and also decentralized storage. And so we have some really cool things that are coming up. So stay tuned for that. But man, there's people out here who are building other things. And so one of them, I would be remiss if I let this day pass, and we're actually broadcasting on this day, if I did not say happy birthday to Mary Spiro. Mary is the creator of Seek VR. She has created the Seek VR headset. And so that is a headset that you can use as an alternative to the Oculus Quest. So y'all, we always talk about how much we're not happy with this whole Facebook thing and how we're not happy with Meta, and we want to shift what we're doing there. Well, there's alternatives out there. So one of them is Pico Neo 3, but there's also the Seek VR headset. So not just the PS5 VR 2, like not just that, but we have the Seek VR headset, and that's Seek. Seek. And so we're going to go head out to that website now, because I want to take a minute. And first of all, I want to introduce Miss Mary properly. She's not here with us today, so don't get excited. But I do want to just pay some respects to her, because she has done some really amazing things. And she is a sister out here who's been doing that thing for a long time. I was thankful that I found her happy birthday message to her. So y'all, we are going to read this. And so I'm fine reading it. I don't care. This is Mary Spiro. I'm out here on the FOST website. That is futureofstorytelling.org. And they've highlighted Mary. We highlighted her in Blackverse during our we highlighted her during Black History Month because she is the creator of the Seek VR headset. So we're going to read this, and she is a deep space engineer and technology innovator. Mary Spiro grew up in Ghana. Shouts out to Ghana and Koss. I know you're watching. Hey, Koss Couture. And when Mary was 16, her parents saved up enough money to send her to the United States. Her first job was at McDonald's. Since then, she served in the Air Force and created content and technologies for global titans such as Boeing, Lucasfilms, Universal Music, Miami Children's Hospital, and Xbox. Today, she is the head of Seek VR, a developer of innovative content solutions and tools for distributing virtual reality and augmented reality experiences. Spiro is the author of It's Not Rocket Science, 7 Game-Changing Traits for Achieving Uncommon Success, in which she shares inspirational stories to spur readers to move beyond their comfort zones and into creating impact and significance. So again, y'all, this is Mary. Mary, again, happy birthday to you. Your daughter posted that this morning. And so again, said it on Twitter, but I wanted to say it again to you here on my show. So, because, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't say this. We welcome you to come here on the MetaMind Shift Show and to share with us your CVR headset as well as Seekland, which I am about to share here. I'm not sure if that's what we're calling it, but we're calling it now. So I'm going to share this because you guys, if you go out on the CVR head, the CVR website, we're going to go here really quickly just to kind of tap in. So first of all, there is land now. Now, this was not here the last time that I was on the website. And so I want everybody to know that there's two versions here. Let me go here first. Hold on. So what we're going to do is go here. We're going to go to seek.io. And so Seek is Seek VR. So Seek is the site, and this is a headset that is created, and you're able to go out here and hang out with the headset and be able to connect with the blockchain. And so as we are looking at this, I want to make sure I'm on the right website. Hold on, give me a minute. Let me just make sure. Okay, so as we are looking at any website that we are on and we're thinking about our journey through decentralization, you want to make sure that you're looking for certain things. And I've outlined this before. I've outlined it in my takeaway document that I provide to everybody. And that is a quick view into what it looks like when you're on a decentralized website. So there's certain things that you want to see when you're on a decentralized website. So if you are looking at a website, you want to make sure that there's a space for you to connect your wallet. You want to make sure that there is the mention of a blockchain. And when you're thinking about the metaverse, you're going to ask, what type of experience is it? And so that will tell you what type of headset you need, as well as what type of experience you're going to have. So maybe you have to obtain a Seek VR headset in order to have some of these experiences. Maybe you have to have an Oculus headset, just like you would have to have a certain controller or a certain console. It's the same thing when you're out on these websites. So maybe you can just go into the browser and experience your virtual world there. But you're always going to want to make sure that you are checking out what you are actually able to do. So this one is Seek's patented VR headset, and they're also selling it as bundles. These are available at your major retailers nationwide. I'm doing an amazing job of sponsoring this this particular headset, which we do not actually sponsor, but we do support the endeavors of folks who are trying to do some really cool things. Again, here we've got the idea of smart contracts. NFTs are bound by smart contracts. So that smart contract is an indicator as to what is going to happen with that specific NFT and token. So that non-fungible token, that smart contract is basically the details, what happens, what's allowed, what's not allowed. And then, you know, if you're somebody who's into this space already, you might be looking for utility. And so that utility and the definition of that utility is going to be there in that smart contract. So Seek is actually something that is used for enabling the blockchain. I'm sorry, that is used for enabling concerts. At least that's the last I heard of this last time I was here, was that, you know, there were always really cool concerts that were associated with Seek, but unless you had a Seek headset, you were not going to be able to experience that. So that was all the kind of motivation to be able to do that. So here we see Seek plus VR, plus the blockchain. And so we have the blockchain, and they're not saying which blockchain it is. So I'm just going to assume, well, you should never assume, so we're not going to assume anything, but they are using the blockchain technology. You do see reference to the immutable record of transactions and exchanges on the blockchain. You are seeing NFTs. You're hearing the words smart contracts. You're seeing those kinds of things. And so that's exactly what you would want to see as you are working through kind of discovery on a website, at least at first glance. I know I saw an Ethereum, I swear I saw Ethereum somewhere on here, but maybe not. So they are continuing to innovate with their blockchain. So you can come out here to their blog and read all about that. And then also they have land. So now we have land. So you're able to actually go and buy Seek. And I'm not sure if this is going to go to the website or to I'm looking for it to go to, there we go. No, I want it to go to the actual, what am I trying to say? I want to go to the actual land because they've launched land. So Seek has land. That land is available and it's here. If you go to, wait a minute. But anyway, there is land that's available on the Seek website, and you're going to be able to go there and acquire land if you would like to. When you click on one of these, it should prompt you to log in with your wallet. In this case, it does prompt me for a MetaMask wallet, or it did last time I was on here. If you go to log in, nope, it should be having you to log in with MetaMask with a cryptocurrency wallet. Doo-doo-doo. All right. Well, happy birthday to Mary Spiro. We're going to move on because I got some other stuff to tell y'all. And one of them is a very similar story, but that is about Spatial. So you guys just had an experience with me where, you know, things aren't always quite so 100% amazing, and sometimes there's some hiccups, right? And so as we are working through some of those hiccups, we have to remember that we are still early. So this is a time and a place where we are still early to the creation and the foundation of what we're doing. Spatial Audio, or Spatial, the application, just had a very rough go of it a few days ago on LinkedIn. There was an event that was held a couple of weeks ago or last week, and a gentleman literally blew a gasket because his event was not perfect. I say blew a gasket because that's how it reads, is a gasket blowing session. But you guys, we've had these conversations plenty of times. We know that, first of all, this is not fully fleshed out. This is an early adopter's experience. This is an early moment in life where we are experiencing these spaces. We're jumping in and we're excited as early adopters because the metaverse isn't here yet. Like, we're building out. There are definitely virtual spaces that are here. There are metaverse with the lowercase m's that are here that you can visit. And Spatial probably is one of the more mature platforms when it comes to those that are out there. But man, it's not going to be perfect. You guys that are out here that are wanting perfect, this is not the time for you. When you get to a point where you are nitpicking on the fact that, oh my God, the audio had issues, I understand it, right? Like, I do, because you put in a lot of time, you put in a lot of work when it comes to having an event. You have all these different things that are going on. Everything needs to be perfect. Your name's on the line. But when you're talking about the metaverse, the fun is at the forefront. And if that fun and your community are not at the forefront, then what are you doing even? Like, go have it on Zoom and do like everybody else is doing, because you aren't ready to be in the metaverse. You're not ready for these virtual types of experiences. And it's very possible that neither is your community. And so while I do believe that spatial probably had a whole lot to do with this, it is still that space of this where we really need to be a little bit more chill when it comes to overly expecting greatness and wonderfulness. And yes, alt space, that's a whole different type of space. And so alt space is going to provide you with the ability to have more people in a space at once, because it's just a little bit more mature and it's kind of designed for that. Like, we've seen amazing experiences happen there. When you look at spatial is happening in your browser and in VR. So it is not there yet. That type of experience, I think you probably should have gone to alt space. And I think that the fact that, you know, there's complaints about it afterwards, maybe you feel a little foolish, and I don't know what to say. We saw this a couple of weeks ago where everybody was talking about how there's 38 people in the metaverse in total. So I'm not sure why you thought you could go to one space and have 600 people there if that's really the case, which it's not. Our spaces are instantiated. That's what we call it in gaming. We've grown up and we've kind of called things sharding now. That is the process by where something is split, but you can't really tell the difference, right? So you're sitting inside of a space, it's a server, that server is split or sharded or partitioned off. And so each person is having this experience. They think they're there with you, but you're really in two totally different servers. And that capacity is built around whatever that platform can handle. So we know that that happens. It happens in alt space too. That's not something that's unique to spatial in any kind of way. But spatial is a great platform for smaller events. And it is a really cool platform for getting your feet wet in the metaverse, because you're able to go there on your browser. So speaking of places that are not the metaverse and places that aren't quite there yet, guess what just happened, y'all? So not even 10 minutes before this broadcast, I was brought into a room on one of my favorite audio apps, the app we probably met on, and that is Clubhouse. Clubhouse came out yesterday, the ability to link your crypto wallet to your Clubhouse profile. And I took the plunge, and I don't know why the hell I did that, but I did it. And I just jumped right on in. There was no DYOR on my part. I didn't do any of that. I just said, oh, cool. It was literally one of those rare moments where that's what I did. I don't usually do that. But it was Clubhouse, and I'm like, oh my God, shoot, let's do this. So I did. And I joined, and I added my wallet on there. I linked up my wallet. And then I realized, like, oh my God, my wallet is linked on my phone. Never does that actually happen. I had to like go through the steps to actually make that happen yesterday. And I did it. And, you know, in this instance, I hope I'm okay. I'll probably be doing some swappage here soon with this NFT. However, I wasn't expecting an NFT. They airdropped less than about an hour ago, or roughly an hour ago. They airdropped NFTs to the first 100 people who actually linked up their wallet. So in this case, I actually came out on the good side. So I wanted to share this with you guys so you could see it if I still have my OpenSea up, which I do. So let me pull that up so you guys can check this out. This is an NFT. This NFT was dropped into my wallet because I was one of the first people to link in to Clubhouse. So first of all, Nicole Maxwell is not a fan of token gated anything. although I understand it. I feel like we should be having open pathways to success and fruition on this side of the world, but we're starting to token gate things. And so token gating, the idea behind token gating is that your NFT acts like an access pass into wherever you're going. So while I am not a fan of that, that is what I got. And so I now am a member of the very exclusive Clubhouse 100. And that is a token gated first 100 people to have linked in their wallets on OpenSea. So this was created by John Milanovich. I'm just going to fake like I said his name correctly if I didn't. And then the description is here. Yes, it was a limited edition airdrop. And so airdrop means that I didn't have to go out and collect this NFT. It was dropped into my wallet specifically by someone else. And so it was dropped in the air into my wallet. Okay. And so because of that, like when you're viewing these on OpenSea, you see it in the back end. So it's hidden. So you have to unhide. So I did go ahead and unhide this one. And so the only trait that's here is that it's the Clubhouse first 100. There's not any levels to this. I am, according to this, I'm number 17. John did state that he did not believe that these were done in order. I do believe these were done in order because I got that message and I'm like, oh shoot, let me do this. And so I did it. I was probably one of the first people to do it. And so I do think that number 17 is where I should be. And if, you know, if things were different, I'd be number 16, but I'm number 17. So that works too. I can sell this NFT. It is on Ethereum, but it is out here and it is cool, right? So it is a token gated first 100. Now, what is that token gate? What is it gating? So what it's gating is the actual house on Clubhouse. So just to let you know how this happened, I saw the room come up on Clubhouse. And that room, I'm like, what is this token gated 100 thing? I don't really, And so, I saw it come up and I'm like, why is, and so then like I saw like the messages from the houses. So there's also some more exclusivity happening on Clubhouse. They have houses now. So not just clubs, but in addition to clubs, there's also houses. So what happened here is there's a house. That house is called Clubhouse 100 or something similar to that. Anyone who is a holder of this NFT in their wallet is automatically and has their wallet linked to Clubhouse. I'm trying to like think through the steps and has their wallet linked to Clubhouse is actually a member of the Clubhouse 100. And so those 100 people, we all got on stage right before this show started and we were able to actually tap in and just talk openly about like what the process was like to actually link our wallets to Clubhouse, the concerns that we have. I definitely echoed the concerns of my community. I definitely relayed those a couple times over. But then we also kind of just resonated in the fact that, yeah, we're a part of something that's just us. While I am not a fan of exclusivity, I actually did kind of like this. And I could see how having a house that is token gated could be really cool, but also kind of frustrating because then you start thinking about change management. What happens if somebody sells their NFT to somebody you don't like? Does that person get access to your exclusive house that you have exclusive rights to? Like, what does that actually look like? This again is really cool because now you have a way to monetize in Clubhouse, even though Clubhouse itself does not have a way to do that. So I did ask a little bit about the process and I found that the process, it does not work well, or at least was not created to work with existing clubs and existing houses. Marrying those two things up, that's not going to be for a while. But what is a thing is having a new house and being able to have that new house invite new members in utilizing the token gating system. So NFTs are live. Clubhouse cares about Web3 just a little bit. They're dipping their toes in. That's even the words they said. Those y'all know that that's our lingo. So we're seeing them actually become participants and players. So think about what that means for you and for your community. What does that mean for us and our community? We do have the Black Multiverse Hub. We've had that for several weeks now, and we're enjoying it. Movie night has shifted into the Black Multiverse Hub. We still have the Blackverse Club. We still have the Black Multiverse Club. So those things are still happening. But this is just an interesting way to actually check some stuff out, or to even potentially spur on adoption, right? So how many people did not know about NFTs that are now like, hold up, Clubhouse has an NFT. What is that? And think about all the people now who are going to be able to monetize, and all the other people who are going to be able to, like me, continue to help people like we've been doing this whole time. And then think about all the people on Clubhouse that are shady and shysty and are going to try to take advantage of this in some other kind of way. It's 2022, we got work to do. That's what I'm gonna say. But also y'all, when we're looking at any NFT on OpenSea or anywhere else, you should clearly be able to see the contract that it was minted on. So a few things about this. This is an ERC-721. It is on Ethereum. You can tell when the last time it was updated. And then if you click on the hyperlink, that is going to take you over to Etherscan, and you're going to be able to check out the contract. So whether or not you can actually read this contract is up to you, but it does show up and make certain things possible. So I'm just pasting that in there so you can see what actually opened up. And so you can see the contract creator, you can check out his wallet and all of the stuff that he's done there. And then also the name of this, which is CFH, this token is considered Clubhouse First 100 Wallet Connect. And that's what it's going to be called. And then you can see who else is on here. So how many of them Clubhouse folks did you ever really want to see and see what their actual usage was out here in the blockchain? So for all them people who sit up here and are training and teaching people and have never minted an NFT ever, but are the first ones to say something anytime somebody is talking about NFTs, why are you getting your information from them? Stop it. That is crazy. But yeah, so you can actually take a road trip through some of these wallets and find out what folks have in the wallet that they connected to Clubhouse. Now, mind you that I did this with my public wallet address, and I don't care that you go out and peruse through it. Who cares? But there are other people who did not think that through. And then there's other people who were a lot more savvy when they thought it through. So like I said, I was in that moment, right? I'm like, ooh. And so I got hit with the FOMO, the AMO, the actually missing out moment. But there are other people who thought about it. And so they were more strategic in what they did. So they did not link up their actual wallet that they use for everything else. They just linked up a dummy one. And so that's what you'll find here when you dive in. So, you know, I'm actually going to go see. I want to know, was I actually, okay, so it doesn't go based on the time that you did it. So these are when it was minted. That's the number that I got. So this is technical.eth. I'm number 17. And so that's why I'm sitting here. But they did say that they didn't think that it had anything to do with when you actually, like, which number you were in the line of people that actually connected your wallets. So anyway, y'all, I wanted to go over that. There's a bunch of other stories in the metaverse. My main favorite this week was Open Metaverse Alliance says that it will not let Meta define the future of the internet. Boom! boom. And that's what we appreciate about community, is because y'all, it has been said, it has been spoken. That ain't happening. Get that out of here. That's what that was. Rejected. Not happening there in our metaverse. You're not getting it. So that was one of my favorite stories this week. There's also some articles out here about how the corporate metaverse just cannot compete with what we actually want. So Meta, no, not the thing for us this week. I want to take a minute and I want to just say not only thank you to our sponsors, but man, thank you to all of the places where we are distributed. So thank you to Max Distro. All the places here are places where you can find us globally. And so we are thankful for everybody who's on this list, including Pod TV, as well as all of the different places and ways that we are sponsored. And so I just want to give a shout out to Black Multiverse Enterprises. I want to give a shout out to Pod TV. To the Black Business Network, as well as to Artsy NVR and the EE Testing Center. Also, shouts out to Constant Contact. Congratulations to Black Multiverse for getting a $500 grant from SCIF, and also to Storage. Storage is awesome, decentralized storage, and I'll definitely be using them for some really cool projects that I have coming up. And I already said Constant Contact, the EE Testing Center is out there in Los Angeles. So if you are out there and you need Pearson testing, or if you need to have some proctored exams rendered, please go check out Mr. Rell and tap into the EE Testing Center. All right, you guys, so we are all done for the day. I want to say thank you for listening in. Thank you for tapping in. Thank you for tuning in. This is Nicole, and my voice is resting.